Every spiritual healing, whether in the Bible or in your daily life, demonstrates at least two important principles. One is that the life of God is always present. That's why the healing occurs in a spiritual healing. It's the life of God coming through. And the second is that the power of that divine life is always available to any individual who is lifted up to the realization, and get this, to the realization that the life of God is the only life present. That's what's generally missing in some of our work. The life of God is present, and the life of God is the only life present. These are the two ingredients that must be in a spiritual healing. One day, through direct perception of omnipresence and omnipotence, Joel was able to feel the one divine life without opposite. And from that experience came the following statement. In my vision, says Joel, I saw all the power of armaments as dead matter. Saw it could not move itself because it had nothing to move it. How can anyone move anything if someone is standing facing him with the Word of God in his consciousness? You'll find that remarkable remark on page 14 in Joel's book, Awakening Mystical Consciousness. Awakening Mystical Consciousness. You'll find it in the chapter titled, The Atheism of Material Power. Now, what was Joel's secret? Why could he stare at stockpiles of nuclear missiles all around the world and declare, thou hast no power over me? Only because he had made an earth-shattering discovery unknown to the material mind of man. He had discovered that divine life is indestructible because the life of God is the only life. There's nothing to destroy divine life. Nothing else exists. Whatever is not divine life is an illusion of the mind. And he wanted to share this spiritual secret with his students. And then later he clarified that statement with another truth. Actually, he clarified it before this one. You'll find this on page 281 in parenthesis in the chapter I spoke of losing Inus and I. God is the one and only infinite consciousness. My consciousness and everything within the realm of my consciousness is God governed, God maintained, God sustained, God fed. God, divine consciousness, is the substance of all form. There is no evil form. There is no destructive form. No harmonious form. No harmful form. No injurious form. For God is the substance of all form. That word is no harmful form, not no harmonious form. God is the substance of all form. He made that later into a book. Well, is God the substance of the warriors in the Falklands? Is God the substance of the Argentine soldiers? And the answer is, God is the invisible substance where the warriors appear to be. There are no warriors. There is only the substance of God. This is the fundamental illusion and the very basis of all spiritual teaching around the earth. What the appearance is, Joel continues, has nothing to do with oneness, with the Father. What the condition of the person may be has nothing to do with it. Whether we're sick or well, living or dead, has nothing to do with it. Nothing to do with the realization of oneness, and cannot alter it. These conditions are the appearance. But the eye of us is picking us up at this moment. And from now on, I in the midst of us will lead, direct, govern, feed, clothe, and house us. It should be clear that Joel was announcing one divine life. Realized is the real miracle worker. It lifts you above powers of the world, above fear, above karma, above limiting human conditions, above dependency on persons, things, possessions, and that sort of thing. It transforms you from the natural man separated from God to the Son of God, living in harmony, peace, sustained throughout eternity by the law of divine perfection. This chattering of the minor birds is very interesting, and I'm just going to tell you about it. They're giving birth. And they're training their young. And that's how they do it. They just chatter and chatter. Sometimes the mother and father get very angry at each other and at the birds, the little new ones. And then you hear this little peep come out over above it. Yes, father, yes, mother, I understand. But that's what this chattering is about right now. One divine life is what we're studying. And it's being reborn into view here as little birds. You see, one divine life, appearing as Jesus, broke every major material law in order that you and I, like Lazarus, could awaken from the tomb of material bodies and material powers that have no real existence. Be perfect as your Father is not a slogan. It's not a command, it's an invitation to step out of corporeal existence into your divine life now. To step into the secret place untouched by the shifting sands of time. More and more, Joel says, our attention is centered on God's kingdom and His grace, rather than on form and effect. And then, as we are absent from the body of form and effect, that body, form, and effect appear harmoniously. As we are absent from the body of form and effect, that body, form, and effect appear harmoniously. That's on page 293, parenthesis. It's the last chapter, the last paragraph in the chapter titled, My Kingdom is Not of This World. What was Joel really saying? He was saying something his students did not quite know. He was saying, you see me standing up here in front of you as a teacher. But I'm not in that body that you're looking at. Oh, no. I am incorporeal. That's what Joel was saying. I am incorporeal. I am the one divine life. That's right. God is the substance of all form. Joel was the one divine life, but he knew it, and most of us didn't. The physical sense of being was not the center of his life. And the outer world of material effects was not where he lived. There's a form of evolution going on in our world today. It's not the kind of evolution that science talks about, but it's taking place. It's a spiritual resurrection. And it's preparing our world, consciousness, for a confrontation between spiritual power and atomic power. There are millions of returning souls with us now who are bringing in a new look, a new vision, because they have glimpsed a new universe in which death and evil are obsolete. Where life does not depend on matter, and where life does not degenerate into a broken memory of what used to be. New birth is emerging, but there are still many major obstacles in the way of our full spiritual purification. And the greatest one, the greatest obstacle, is the trap of the human body appearing where man and woman stand, where only incorporeal spirit is. This is the number one barrier to freedom. Attachment to the human sense of life, that life that animates the human body, is the second obstacle. We call that animation life, but it's not divine life. It's world mind, cosmic mind, animating these thought patterns called bodies. I think many students accept the reality of their incorporeal divine life to a degree, but only tentatively. And often this leads to certain dualities. Certain decoys. And I think we've got to put our finger on them right now so that none of us who are truly making the effort to walk in the kingdom now will be guilty of making these errors which keep us out of the very kingdom we wish to inhabit. It's hard truth, but we've got to face it. We must face it. And number one is, you do not have a divine life and a human life. If you think you do, you're in duality. And you are denying the oneness of divine life. And you'll pay a price for that mistake. You do not have both an incorporeal spiritual body and a human body. That too is duality. Now right there in those two points, unless you make the choice between divine life and human life, spiritual incorporeal body or corporeal human body, you're going to walk out separated from God. And that brings us to the third point, the third obstacle, the third great truth that must be seen and understood. You cannot live your divine life in a human body. It's simply impossible. There's no point in wasting time trying to do it, or hoping you can do it, or trying to find ways to do it. To live your divine life in a human body is impossible. And I would like to see every Infinite Way student paste that statement on the screen of their mind until they are convinced that it is true. If you are dedicated to divine truth and determined not to be deceived by the decoys of matter and humanhood of this world, you should winnow the chaff of humanhood out of your life and then get down to the principles that will not buckle under your feet and collapse when you walk on the water of reality. First principle, I am divine life, not human life. Second principle, I do not live inside a body of human flesh. I am incorporeal. Many of us throughout our lives have looked to God for signs. Father, show me. Show me that you are here. Father, help me overcome this terrible fear of pain and death. Father, protect me from fire, from flood, from hurricane. Father, improve my domestic situation. Improve my health. Improve my income. In short, we're always saying to God, give me something. Divine life doesn't do that. Divine life is your life. That means, and this is shocking to the human mind, the life of God is your life. Literally. And therefore, the life of your form, which is a dying life, is not the life of God. But the life of God is your life. You've got one life too many, one real that you're not using or letting use you, and the other which ends up as an epitaph somewhere on a tombstone. Did you know that most people in the world reject God by asking for things that God has already given them? Things that are already included in their own divine life? That's how spiritually blind our fellow man is. When we say, God, give me this or that, we are saying, I am not divine life, and this that I am seeking is not in my divine life. Is not here. Do you see the point? How we reject God by asking for what God has given us? If we had stood on a mountaintop and had received 12 precious tablets inscribed with wisdom, we would have leaped with joy. But God did much better than that for the human race. God bestowed upon man the full, infinite measure of divine life. And we, blind to this miracle of one divine life, have trodden this incredible gift of life into the dust of forgetfulness and ignorance. Without ceasing, we turn within to touch the truth that the life of God is you. Your name is the life of God. Your name is divine life. Your identity is divine life. There is no other you. The moment you fall back into the false belief that you are a human life, you are committing adultery spiritually. And you are changing life for death. Yes, that's right. Your infidelity to divine life is the real meaning of adultery in the Bible. And that adultery brings its own punishment. It happens to everyone we know. But let's reverse this. Continue in my word. Continue in my divine life. Accept the truth of divine life in fullness. And that truth will reveal that you are free forever. You should know about the nature of your divine life. It can never be divided into parts. God is one. You are that one life. Not a fragment of it, but all of it. Because it cannot be divided into fragments. The whole indivisible life of God now is your life. And that's why God says to you, all that I have is thine. You will find it difficult to hold that in consciousness unless you realize that there is no God and you. There was no God and Jesus. When Jesus said, thou seest me, thou seest the Father, he was saying, I am the life of God. I and the Father are one life. The infinite way says that the divine life that you are is infinite. It's bigger than all space. Your life has no limits in space. It is boundless. It has no beginning in space and no end in space. And it is not limited by time. Jesus said that his divine life existed before Abraham. And we know that the life of God has no beginning and no end. And so, because there is one divine life, whether that life is God, Jesus, or you, it is always the same one infinite life. One undivided, infinite, eternal, perfect life. And get used to it. To live in truth, you must always know that there is no end to your life, no beginning to your life, no imperfection in your infinite divine life. Your outer activities will then manifest your inner consciousness. As peace, harmony, fulfillment, abundance, new experience, joy, beauty. The full inventory of divine qualities will manifest through your accepted divine life. But you must be faithful to it. You must meet the challenges of this world by standing fast, by remaining peacefully confident in your divine life, regardless of the visible appearances, even when they are seemingly extreme and impossible. To some of us, death is a real tragedy. To the enlightened, passing from this plane is not a tragedy. But the real tragedy is living as a human being in a human body, instead of living in the one divine life until we transcend the false, temporary, mortal lifespan and emerge from the false, temporary, mortal sense of body. You have spent many years now practicing the presence. It's time to begin practicing the presence of your own divine life, here, there, everywhere. And if you do, put some time and effort and thought and concentration into giving this priority. Knowing my divine life is everywhere, frequently during your day. Getting the feel of it, the inner response, the texture of it. You will discover subtle transformations taking place in your outer world. So now we have two projects which must be attended to. Let me say by introduction to one of the projects that the true purpose of the Infinite Way has always been to show you how to live your own divine life by letting God live it through you. This takes vigilance, patience, love of God, understanding, dedication. And at times you may wonder why the mountain is so steep and so high, and sometimes so lonely. I guess you might even wonder if you will ever arrive. But I am the way. Divine life will terminate all self-doubt. And in the acceptance of divine life, you are given these inner flashes of wisdom, given ways to quicken your expansion of consciousness and your ascension into the kingdom in such a way that you know the power of divine life is actually your guide. I want to go into one way right now that can quicken your ascension and bring your goal very sharply into focus. We're going to have to learn to live from our infinite divine life instead of from the five-sense body level. And so it's got to be a totally new experience. Your consciousness will expand as you breathe the truth of being in your soul. As you feel more and more of your infinite life. As you begin to release the sense of confinement within your sense capacities, your environment extends into areas beyond reach of your limited senses. The entire universe becomes your new body. The invisible universe becomes alive. As the reality of your being, your new life includes all tomorrows and all yesterdays. Infinity stops being a word. It becomes a constant, continuing experience. Eternity is no longer remote. Eternity is now the locale for your divine life. New areas of consciousness vibrate with dynamic activity. You feel the infinite potential of your being in all space and all time and beyond. And the concept of living inside a finite human body that ages, deteriorates, and dies becomes very distasteful, very primitive, and not at all the divine plan. Now we come to the project. As a human being, the world was outside you, outside your body. As divine life, which is infinite, without beginning or end, either in time or space, the world is now not outside you, but inside you. And to be true to divine life, you've got to make the change. You can't live in divine life with an external world. The world can't be outside your divine life, and if you live in the world outside and walk into it, you're denying divine life. That's the project. You must adjust in your consciousness. And let your consciousness change. Everything changes. Your relationship to everything and everyone. And this will lift you out of the five-sense merry-go-round, which is called human life. Now, very few people are called upon to enter this secret area of consciousness because they're all glued into the daily human masquerade of material life. But you have been prepared to be released into the unconditioned universe by your developing spiritual consciousness of incorporeality and of incorporeal life outside time. We alluded to this 4 years ago. In Kauai, in the seminar there, in 1978, And now, for a major step in your spiritual development, you must learn, you must practice that the outside world is inside you. And this is where the talking ends and your work begins. The world is inside you. Inside your human consciousness. Everything your senses experience seems to be out there, right? Because as a human being, you act and think and live from inside your brain and inside your body. That makes the world seem outside. But the new you, infinite divine life, must develop your infinite divine life consciousness by recognizing that the world is inside you, inside your human mind, and is never going to be an outside reality. To know this intellectually is a good beginning. But the exercise that we're about to do is the development of your automatic awareness that the outside is inside. And so this exercise should be practiced for 15 minutes daily. I mean, not less than 15. If you want to go 20 or 30, great. But if you do it less than 15, you won't get it. And if you get it in the first 5 minutes, wonderful. But hold it for 10 minutes more. Look at anything. You can start right now by looking at the room you're in. Or pick an object in the room. Or if you want to, look at a scene outside your window. And while you're looking at it, something in you should be saying, nothing that I am seeing is external to my divine life. The room is not out there. It's a picture in my mind. The picture is an instant projection on the screen of my mind so that automatically I even think my body is inside this room, but it isn't. My body is in my mind. Now, this is how cosmic mind brainwashes us. Our entire world is a series of cosmic mind light patterns that overshadow our soul. Paul called it the glass darkly. It's an overshadowing between your soul and your brain. Your five senses pick up the cosmic light patterns, relay them to your brain, and inside the theater of your brain, these light patterns are formed into pictures or brain images. The room you think you are in is a complex series of brain images. Your own physical form is composed of continuous brain images. Every person you think you're seeing is a brain image. And even when you touch that person, you are touching an image in your brain. You are smelling an image in your brain. You are hearing a sound image in your brain. All five senses are reporting images in your brain. Your senses are never touching an external world, although the cosmic mind hypnotizes us into that belief. You doubt that? Well, listen then to the truth that God has given us. Is there an external world to God or to the life of God? Is anything external to God? And if you are the Son of God, the life of God, the child of God, how can your divine life, which is the life of God, have an external world if God doesn't have one? So by accepting an external world, you are saying, I am not the life of God. I am not the child of God. I am not the Son of God. God is not my Father. I and the Father are not one. Do you see again how we reject divine life at every turn? And so I'm making this a number one project. You must come into the awareness that you are divine life and there is no external world, because they go hand in glove. Can't have one without the other. Get into the habit of placing this world inside your brain. Keep it there too, for 15 minutes every day. You can do this for 15 minutes while you drive into work in the morning. You're looking through the windshield now. You're looking at the sky, the landscape, the road. There are the cars on the road, going and coming. And now realize all this. All the objects, all the forms, all the substances are mental projections, animated patterns of the world mind flowing in your brain. Something happens when you do that. And then hold the truth for 15 minutes. Keep looking and knowing. It's all inside, not outside. And then do it for 15 days. I wouldn't be satisfied myself to do it once a day for 15 minutes. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, it's a 24-hour challenge. But if you got to get started doing it, do it for 15 minutes for 15 days. And if you feel like it, do it more often during the day. If you do it at night, then include the stars, include the moon. They are external to science and to human bodies, but they are not external to you because you are the life of God. And one day they will not be external to science. Now, I know from experience that 5 minutes, well, 1 minute, 1 minute after you stop this experiment, you're going to fall right back into the illusion that the world is outside. I know that's the way it is. And so it's important to repeat the exercise for those 15 days or 15 nights. And during those 15 days and nights, you will discover the secret of all mystics, that the external world never was there. What is there? Your divine life is there, and that's why the external world isn't there. The infinite life, the invisible life of God is there. The invisible kingdom of God is there. And that invisible kingdom, in a measure, will become visible, tangible, experienced, as you learn to shift from mind to soul. And this exercise will help you make that shift. I said we had two projects, and here's the second project. Weather is a big factor these days. I guess it always was, but it seems to be running rampant, certainly in the United States, and probably in every country in the world. And so the second project is weather, world work. And I'd like that to be considered as the subject of our 7 p.m. meditations. California time, as before. Now, in our weather work, we should apply what we have learned in this class today. Of course, we're not going to wait for bad weather. We just do our work, and let's know the truth that weather has to be divine if there's any weather at all. There's only one source for anything. So there is divine weather. The unfortunate part is that nobody ever sees it. We just see this changing panorama of sun and then shade instead of permanent divine light. So we're going to work no matter how good or bad the weather is. We're going to work daily at 7 p.m. Now the power of this meditation is going to depend on your divine consciousness. If you come to it in a human consciousness, you might as well forget it. There's no power in that. It's wise now to spend 15 minutes before the meditation. Some of you probably have been doing that. I find it wise to establish your divine consciousness. And now you want to spend these 15 minutes before the meditation to establish that you are divine life. Don't wait for the meditation. Get it done before you meditate. You are not a human being. And then, when 7 p.m. rolls around, you can roll right into it from the high level of divine consciousness. And your work will bear more fruit. So let's start right there. We'll pretend that you've already spent those 15 minutes kindling the life of God within you. So that now it is time to join the group meditation. Your local newspaper has reported that tornadoes are sweeping across a section of the country. You believe that your area is next in line for an attack. But you are divine life. So now, you are at peace. You must begin this way. You are at peace. Divine life is at peace. Divine life is always at peace. Peace, be still, it is I. Divine life, it is I. Where is the tornado that allegedly is coming to your area or allegedly is in the area? The tornado is not there. Divine life is there. Who is realizing it but you? Know also the tornado is in the brain of men. Maybe 5,000 brains in the area are seeing a tornado, which is nothing more than thought patterns that God did not create. Thought patterns sent forth by the cosmic mind. That's where the tornado is. The tornado is not external. It is not outside you. destructive flow of wind is group thought planted by the cosmic mind while man is sleeping within the belief that he is a finite human life in a finite human body. Divine life is the only creator, the only life that exists, the only creation. Rest in that divine life, where destruction is impossible. Let the lie of a tornado hit this consciousness of divine life, which has no external, until your peace descends. Until the lie cannot penetrate your enlightened consciousness. We are removing the belief in a mental tornado. Until there is a click, a realization, a feeling, a strange inner movement, a presence, a glow, a voice, an assurance, a vision, a quiet confidence. In which you experience your own divine life. Omnipresent, omnipotent, without opposite. Let that be the way you face the weather at 7 p.m. every night, until you know that weather is consciousness outpicturing, and that divine consciousness can only outpicture divine weather. By now, everyone should have received three tapes in this series, 1, 2, and 3. You should have all received your invitation to the Orlando seminar. You should have all received your catalog of available tapes. And if you don't have any of these and want them, please contact me. Today's class is setting a permanent foundation for the work to follow. The seminar theme is divine birth, not in theory, but in experience. And now that we are moving the path of light as divine life, this is a form of prayer in which we open our soul to all the qualities of God and let those qualities express where we stand. Please look for your next tape in August. That's so that we could let it end in December instead of November. August, October, and December will be the three next tapes. Just in time to wish you a Merry Christmas and get you started for the preparation that you must do for your consciousness to be ready for the experience of divine birth. Aloha from the island of Kauai to dear friends everywhere.